Okay, this is the regular meeting of the Town of Waterville Planning and Zoning Commission, December 18th, 2024. We'll call this meeting to order. We have an agenda before us. Can I get a motion to approve this agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
It's been motioned and seconded to approve the agenda before us. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Also, we've had the minutes sent to us. Has everybody had a chance to look over them?
Yes. I have.
The only correction that I would recommend is on the November 20th meeting. Before I left, there was a reference made to an agreement that doesn't appear in the written minutes. I think that's probably something that should be in the written minutes. It's in the audio recording. The only thing that I think needs to be added to that.
Okay.
Outside of that one item, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of previous meetings as they're written?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the previous meetings other than the one addition. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. We will now open a public hearing on the revised Town of Waterville subdivision ordinance. Is there somebody here to represent Sunrise in this? Okay.
So just a quick overview of what this ordinance is. Over the past 2 years, the state legislature has made changes to state code and have mandated that all municipalities adopt these changes by December 31st of this year. Those changes include removing the town council from the subdivision approval process and requiring the communities to designate an administrative land use authority for the preliminary plat and then a separate approving entity for the final plat. Additionally, these changes have created review cycles, giving the communities like Waterville, where there's less than 5,000 residents, 40 business days to review these applications. So it kind of puts the municipalities on a tighter time frame. It requires applicants to submit a fully complete application up front, so no more partial applications can be accepted, and it changes the process from a legislative process to an administrative process. I don't know if the council has any questions for me.
I do. Okay. I do. On, let's see here. 10-9A-604.1, the process for subdivision review and approval. Item 2A. And what I've got here is just something that this has been really confusing to me to find the actual documents. The information that's come has just been contradictory and confusing to me. But what it says is this section applies. This is talking about simple subdivisions, as in this one, this new one. Our old ordinances, our current ordinance just defines these as minor subdivisions. It states that this section applies to land use decisions arising from subdivision applications for single-family dwellings, two-family dwellings, or townhomes. In other words, strictly the simple subdivision will only apply to residential properties.
So as far as simple subdivisions or minor subdivisions,
yes.
So that's applicable only for residential, yes. The way that we've written this ordinance is that only a residential property can come in and do that. The review cycles that are put into place in this ordinance are also only applicable to single-family, two-family, and townhomes. So if a commercial development were to come in and want to do a subdivision, the town is not held to that 40 business day review cycle. The town can take the time that it needs to review those plans and ensure that it's put in correctly and has all the things that it needs.
Okay. My point here is, this is a small town. Four of the last six minor subdivisions that we have done have not been residential properties. Okay. They've been ag, commercial, stuff like that. And is it possible for us to change that? I don't even know how, in what's written in here, how to process just somebody dividing off one of those lands. Not for any particular purpose, because one of the commercial ones was for a particular purpose. The rest of them just wanted to split 40 some odd acres down and have 20 acres separately to sell at some future time. How do we deal with that in this new ordinance?
So in this new ordinance, if it's commercial, it would have to go through the standard subdivision process, meaning they'd still have to do a preliminary plat and a final plat.
But they're not making any improvements. All they are is subdividing and not asking for any improvements.
But the thing with commercial properties are that they're already zoned commercial, so any of your permitted uses in there requires no legislative approval for them to get to that point. So you've doubled the density of your commercial uses in that area by allowing them to split off. And that's one of the reasons why the simple subdivision process only applies to those single family dwellings or to residential. In a commercial, with a commercial use, you'd want it to go through that simple subdivision process because they are still going to have to provide some sort of improvement there. They're going to have to provide a lateral and water service and sewer service to that lot. But that would be a requirement if they're going to utilize the lot.
Well, what I'm saying is they're not going to utilize it for anything. One of these four that was not residential uh-huh. had a plan in place. The others just wanted to split this thing off so that they could sell.
Okay.
There was no improvements asked for or even implied. How do we deal with that one?
So under this ordinance, it would still have to go through that standard subdivision process.
And I don't even know how to put it through it because it talks about engineered plans and all that kind of stuff. How do we deal with that?
So there would be things that would have to be taken into account there. If the town doesn't require certain improvements, those improvements don't have to be shown on those engineered plans. So, for example, if somebody comes in and splits their lot, if somebody puts in a regular residential subdivision, what does the town require? Does the town require the sidewalks be put in? Does the town?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all of that is in place already.
So yeah, that would affect this commercial subdivision as well. So those kinds of things would still need to be shown there.
I understand that, but just the splitting of a 20-acre parcel. One of the recent ones was a 20-acre parcel mm-hmm. that they wanted to divide. It was commercial property from an existing 48-acre parcel mm-hmm. so that they could sell it to somebody for some future development. How do we deal with just the subdivision of that little?
They would have to submit a preliminary plat application with all the required improvements that the town has. So if that lot, for example, fronts a roadway that isn't wide enough, they would have to improve that road, show that they're going to improve that roadway and provide the sufficient right-of-way.
It'd be costly.
What it does is it makes it impossible for them to do that.
Unless they rezone.
Yeah, they'd have to rezone to residential.
Why would you rezone from commercial to residential? Well, you've got more valuable property with commercial property.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's just puzzling to me that isn't possible anymore. It's possible. I mean, our current ordinance doesn't designate that it can only be residential.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happening is it's more complicated than it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I agree. The changes that the state's pushing down is more complicated.
So the state has mandated that we cannot use a simple subdivision for a commercial or an ag or an industrial
property. I believe that it says on the... Let me... Let me get to that section of the ordinance.
Okay.
You want me to pull it up here, Ed?
Yeah, so that everybody can read it, if you can.
What page number?
Let's see, I had written down here an explanation here. It's 10.9A-604.1, item 2A. Let's see, it was page 14, I think, Brianna, 3.4.4, number one, residential only.
Right there, simple lot subdivision.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the new one, just it limits it to residential properties, okay.
Do you want the new one, or do you want red line?
What's the difference between the new one and the red line? That's another confusing thing.
So the red line one just shows the changes that we made to your ordinance.
Okay.
So they have the same information. One of them just has the old ordinance crossed.
So the red line is what the new one's adding?
Yeah, it shows the changes that are, it shows what's being renewed and what's being added. Okay. What was the 10.9A-604?
Well, that's, you know what, in trying to find this, I pulled up a 16-page thing, and it turns out that it was just an explanation of what the new things were, and so I don't even know that that's even useful to me. So let's just ignore this other little note that I have and get the question answered for that. Because I don't even know, it makes it so that you can't even allow somebody with another type of property to just divide it so that they can sell it to somebody else for development. Now, the development process would come in, the town already has things in place to require the improvements to the developer.
Well, and that's something that the state is requiring to happen up front on these subdivisions now.
So in other words, you cannot even anymore divide it if there isn't a development plan for it.
Well, if there isn't engineering construction drawings for it.
Okay, so then it's impossible to even break a piece off to sell without, they've got to have a buyer and a plan in place first before they can even divide it.
Well, the reason, I guess one of the reasons that you'd want to require engineered construction drawings is if they're dividing a property, or if they're, I guess if it's a one-off lot, that might be different. But
that's what I'm talking about. This is not a subdivision. This is not a big commercial development. It is an individual lot.
A lot split.
Yeah, but this new ordinance won't allow us to do that.
Ed, are you referencing like something like Carl and Lynette?
Yes, Carl and Lynette did it. No, when we did... Susan Bingham's was that way. When we did Ed Myers, there was a plan in place, on that one. So there's just the two of them. Who else?
Because Kerry bought Carl and Lynette.
Right, but Lynette divided it first and then sold it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that's
just individual lots, not big commercial developments, just individual lots is what I'm talking about.
So you could, the way this ordinance is written, if you allow for single family dwellings in your commercial zones.
Okay, I understand.
Then you could.
We do.
So the way that it's written is that it has to be, you couldn't just do a lot split unless you plan to build a single family dwelling on the lot. That's one of the required conditions.
So then that blows it out of the water.
Yeah, so if it's a commercial lot, they're wanting to subdivide it to sell it. Best practice would still be to have them go through the preliminary plat and final plat process.
Okay.
Just because of how the recorded documents are and everything. That's going to be the best practice thing to do. We could look into a process that would allow a lot split that doesn't require a plat.
And honestly, around here, to serve the needs of the town, if we don't have that, this is a horrible thing to adopt for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's something we can look at, a separate process. We can look at
It says we can amend it, but if we amend it and allow these other zones to do that, Are we contrary then with the state, with the legislature on it?
So that's what I'll have to look at and see.
Okay, if you'll find that out.
The concern is, I'd have to just see if there would be any conflict.
And then if we don't like this part of it and we adopt it, then we're...
So what we could potentially do is just strike the line number one in that simple subdivision process under 3.4.4,
yeah,
required conditions.
Yeah.
We could strike that, and that would allow...
If we struck that...
That would allow simple subdivisions.
And then we adopted it, and then if the state's angry with us, they can tell us we have to put it back in.
My recommendation, though, would be that right now the required conditions allow for up to 10 lots.
Right, right.
My recommendation would be to take that all the way down to 2.
Well, what it says is up to 10, so that means if you're going to divide one and make two, that's okay with this. That's the way I understand that. Am I wrong?
Yes,
in that?
But it would also allow a developer to come in and take one lot and make it 10 and go through the same process. And the town wouldn't be able to tell them no.
Correct.
So my recommendation would be to take it down to only allow them to split off one additional lot in this process if you're going to open it up to commercial, because if not, then the mechanism for recording deeded roadways and putting in utilities is kind of circumvented there.
Yeah, you're right. I can see that. So then what you're saying is we can leave that there. Where would we insert then that other zones, which we only have four more, I guess, we've got C2. Then that would have to be put in there someplace to allow that to be one parcel to be divided into only two.
Yeah, so we're under 3 in that same section. It says contain no more than 10 lots.
Okay.
It would say contain no more than 2 lots.
In commercial zones.
Oh, in all zones. We could.
Yeah, you see, that doesn't let somebody do the 10.
Yeah.
In residential.
In residential.
Yeah, that's what concerns me. I think we should allow them to do 10, but I just don't know how to deal with commercial zones.
My suggestion then would be, because of the time crunch with the state's deadline, my suggestion would be to consider this only for residential, the simple lot subdivision, and then we could look at amending it and adding some sort of commercial lot split.
Yeah. Well, it does allow us to amend it. Yeah, it does allow us to amend it.
That could be amended. A commercial lot split process could be added with its own requirements.
Okay.
Allowing that type of split.
Okay. All right. That answers that question then. Let's see. Page 32, Brianna. All right. I cannot read that from
Brianna,
here.
If you hit Control +++, it'll zoom in.
I think it's toward the end. It says that the final plat...
Not for me, but for most people.
Yeah, you know what? Let's don't worry about me and John. As far as the approval of the final plat goes, it says... may not require town council or planning commission approval.
Correct. That's right out of state code. So
okay.
The final plat can't go to planning commission or town council.
I'm going to play with words with you here.
Okay.
May, in our ordinances, is permissive.
Yes, so that was something that we came across as well. And so we've checked with the state's attorneys, and they have indicated that it is prohibited in this case.
Okay. So then who do we appoint?
So state code allows you to appoint, and you can appoint an individual, a board, or a staff member. So it can be, what we've seen most people do is they'll appoint the recorder or their clerk to be that person, or they'll appoint, sometimes they appoint their town attorney. to be that person. Because your town attorney has to review the final plat anyway. And so what this process does is all of the detail heavy portion is at preliminary.
Right.
So the planning commission is still going to see the engineered drawings and all of that stuff before it gets to the final plat.
Okay.
And so this is almost like just making sure that all the legal descriptions match and everything, and then send it to the county recorder.
Okay.
But we left it, the way that it's written in this ordinance, we left it intentionally open there rather than designating a specific person, so that as the needs of the town change, the town can, by policy, say that the approving entity for the final plat is going to be the recorder, or maybe later they say the attorney.
Okay.
Now, I mean, you could make a board of, like, a couple of those people if you wanted, then?
You could. It just couldn't include anyone on planning commission or
right.
council.
Yeah, it has to be somebody else altogether.
Mm-hmm. Like olive order, though.
Yeah.
Makes it tough.
Yeah, okay. Well, in reality, once the preliminary plat is approved, Sunrise pretty much takes over the review. What I'm concerned is adding a lot of cost.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you'd want to pass that on as far as part of your application process, but again, that's still a lot of cost.
Right. If they have to do more, it is a pass-through cost for
yeah.
us right now. If they have to do more, and I'm wondering how much more they really have to do. Once we pass it off at the preliminary state, as it is now, it goes to Sunrise, and when they finally approve everything, okay, then we kind of consider ourselves done. We meet and approve the final plat, provided different things are in place.
And so this process is they'll submit their preliminary plat, and before it comes to you, it'll go to your engineer. And your engineer and the utility companies associated there are going to review the plat and go through that review process.
So they're going to do that then ahead of the preliminary plat instead of afterward.
Correct.
Okay.
And then after they've completed their review and they've made all the necessary corrections, at that point it's recommended to the planning commission, and the planning commission
okay.
makes a decision.
Okay. It doesn't seem to me like that adds much then.
No,
it just kind of reverses the order that we're doing,
yeah.
which in a way is better, but, yeah, for us.
Yeah, it'll be good for the city's part.
Okay. Page 4, number 2, Brianna.
Page 4?
Yeah, clear up to the top. Well, I just want to make my point. That's okay, Brandon. Do it the way you want. Okay, page 4, number 2. Somewhere it says that we may appoint someone else there again.
Yeah.
To us, may is permissive.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to.
Yeah, and
your attorney says they worded it wrong.
Not our attorney, the state's
attorney. The state's attorney says.
So, I mean, if the town wants to try and fight that battle, that's up to the town, but that would, our recommendation would be to appoint someone who's not on planning commission or town council.
Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else have any questions? I've been shot down on everything, and it feels good.
No, that first point is important, I think.
Yeah, we need to address that. Anybody else have any questions? Okay, I think we can close the public hearing now. Get down to the regular business. So item 2, consider a possible recommendation to the Orderville Town Board for approval/denial of the revised Town of Orderville subdivision ordinance based on what we've discussed here. Is there any more discussion?
I don't have anything.
Nothing else? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the subdivision ordinance.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the subdivision ordinance as it has been presented to us. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, number 3, consider recommending for approval/denial A conditional use permit for Robert Bennett at 130 South 100 East Bordervilles for a short-term rental. Mr. Bennett, are you here?
Yeah.
Would you explain to us what you've got here?
I'm looking for approval to Airbnb my place. My girlfriend and I.
Did you just purchase this?
Yeah.
This was Dixie McCorvey's house.
It was already approved as a rental prior.
Yes, it had already been a rental.
Now I know who you are.
So, how many bedrooms? Three?
Four.
Four bedrooms?
Yeah.
Is there a place to park four cars there?
Yeah, there's enough room.
Would you come and amend this for me, please? I believe I read in some of my lookings around recently that we're required to have one parking space per bedroom.
Okay.
Just put... scratch out three and put four. Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion on this? So I have one question, Brianna. What's your feeling on this? It says, well, this is business license. We're not going to even get into that. That's town council's worry. Okay, I will entertain a motion on this.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
A motion to approve or deny?
To approve.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve this application for conditional use for a short-term rental by Robert Bennett. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, item number four. Consider recommending for approval / denial a conditional use permit for VRBO Investments, LLC, Micah Young, at 125 South Center Street, Orderville, for quasi-public use. Is Micah here?
No.
Is there anybody here representing Micah?
I can. He thought it'd be a good idea to add it as a conditional use of property.
So, this is the property that his house and the tree house is on?
Because
there's two properties there, I believe.
As far as splitting it, yes.
No, when I look at the county property map, he owns two properties there. One of them has the six rentals on it. The one has his house and the treehouse on it, is what it looks like.
Yeah, so this one...
125 East is the one with his house and treehouse.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah, so this has the treehouse on it.
Okay. Is there already, since this is an R1A property, is there already a conditional use permit for the treehouse to be used as a rental?
Yes.
There is? Is that correct, Brianna? Do you know?
Yes, there is a conditional
okay.
use on that property already.
All right. Number one question. What is quasi-public?
A good idea.
Well, among other shortages, you could just as well have applied for a conditional use permit for conditional use. There also isn't a plot plan here showing things. My opinion is quasi-public in and of itself. It does not constitute a use. It's a term that encompasses a multitude of possible uses. Rather than go through all of that now, I'd recommend that maybe you stick around for the work meeting and we can discuss that. Since this is incomplete, I'd entertain a motion to table it.
I'll make a motion to table it.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to table this application. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We will table it. Item number 5. Consider recommending for approval / denial a conditional use permit for Tyler Schoaf at 550 South Center Street, Orderville, for a short-term rental. Tyler, I see you're here.
Yep.
Would you explain your case?
The plan, since it's my house, because I was moving next month. So I'm moving to Missouri, so I want to keep the house and I want to sell it.
You've got to have conditional use to move.
But you're fine.
So, because it's in my name, I had to fill out the paperwork for it.
Correct.
Abby and her husband will be moving in for full-time rental.
Okay.
They want to be able to short-term rental it till their brother moves back to be an electrician in the valley, and he will take over the other half the house and long-term rent the other half the house. This is just a way that they can rent, like make their rent pay for the whole property so they can save it for the brother coming in a year or so.
Okay.
So we just are trying to get the permit so they can Airbnb it through their own business and their own stuff, but since it's my property, I'm basically leasing it to do that with my property on one half until things change in a year or so.
Okay.
Are they listed as the representative's name on the...
Yeah, if you're not going to actually be here, we have to have a representative. I thought that appeared here someplace.
It's on the vacation rental.
Oh, yeah, I see Cody's name.
Okay. So they'll be doing with their own license and business permits and things with the town on that end.
There's a lot of paperwork here.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on our end with this? Everything appears to be in order. I don't see the vacation rental. This is just conditional use. Wasn't there a separate sheet for vacation rental?
It's under...
There's three forms.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the third form here.
I have it on
digital.
Did it just get missed here in paper?
Perhaps.
Or am I just missing it? Let's look here. I'm just missing it. Here we go. Okay, that comes on... Yeah, vacation rental application. So, Cody, are you the one that... Yeah, would you come up here and put your name on this contact name and property maintenance person?
Absolutely.
Because we have to have a local... It's right down here.
Okay.
Just put your name and phone number there as the local representative.
Okay.
What else?
I just know there's some in town that don't have local roofs.
Yeah, we probably need to fix that before it's renewed. We're not perfect, Alex.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Thank you.
Okay. I will entertain a motion on this one.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve item number 5. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Number 5 is approved. Motion carries. Okay, item number 6. Consider recommending for approval / denial a conditional use permit for Sean and Dusty Frost at 2355 South State Street, Orderville, for YouTube content creator, mechanic, and fabricator. Sean and Dusty, which one of you would like to speak?
Welcome back.
We tabled it just before you go, right?
Yeah, we were just waiting on UDOT.
And
the UDOT is here. They did not issue a new access permit. They just own, they just approved the continued use under
right.
this
yes.
With no additional approval needed. Yes. You can increase by 20%
yes.
is what it says here. Who monitors that, you or them?
Probably the neighbors.
Okay.
They'll do a really good job.
We don't know how to value it.
Any questions for Sean and Dusty on this? Okay. Part of issuing a conditional use permit is we are required by our ordinance to attach conditions to this. There are a couple of pages of conditions in a short-term rental. I have a couple of suggestions for conditions here. And Sean, you need to come up and fix something here too. One of the conditions to do this here is that you don't do any, you have guest appearances occasionally, do you not?
Where?
People that come to the office here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume that. One of the conditions that I will suggest be attached is that there be no on-street, on-highway parking. Would you designate a parking area on your lot there for maybe 5 vehicles? Just draw them in. Say guest parking.
So if I park on the road now, am I limiting
That's
myself?
A little bit, no, not really. Just as this business is concerned, if you have something that's impractical, like a truck with a trailer on it, that kind of thing.
Like a semi with a trailer.
Yeah, semi with whatever that you park on the highway, other people do that. That's not what I'm talking about. That would be impractical to pull that down in and then pull it back out on the highway. That's more dangerous than leaving it on the highway,
right.
in my opinion.
Right.
What I'm talking about is pickups and cars that come there. You need to show us where they're going to park on your property.
Perfect.
Okay.
Does that work?
If I write in here guest parking, would you object?
No.
Okay. Okay, and also, since you're zoned residential, you just don't have a lot of neighbors there, do you?
Depends on the day. Deer hunting so time.
It's deer season.
Yeah. You do have a cater patch right there, so.
Okay.
I think we sent out 11 letters the last meeting.
Did you get any response?
They were invited to his very first meeting.
Does anybody?
We went and visited with one of them, but that was the only response.
Yeah, nobody else showed up.
Well, I got two other texts that said they didn't care. They were good from CNAP. So.
Okay. The other condition that I will suggest here is that you honor a quiet time from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Doesn't mean you can't work. You just can't be making loud noises from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. That's kind of standard procedure for construction sites in residential zones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't the town ordinance have a defined time frame anywhere?
I don't know, but I think that with this, we've got to make sure.
I've done a little research recently and we don't have one right now.
Turned out.
Very interesting.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on this?
Is that good?
That's pretty good, Sean.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion on number 6.
Before you do that, yes. I'm going to stay out of this. I have a vested interest. This is my daughter, so I will.
Let's clear that up. Do you stand to gain financially from any vote that
no,
you take
sir,
on an action
here? No, sir,
but
I would be emotionally invested, so therefore I would prefer not to be.
It's my opinion that you don't have a conflict of interest, but I'll honor your request.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve item number 7, or number 6, I mean. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Item number seven. Consider recommending for approval slash denial a conditional use permit for Alex Pavlidis at 85 Frost Lane, Porterville for laundry facility. You actually will have to abstain from this, Alex.
Figured.
Would you explain what you're doing here?
First. So I have a Quonset hut that I am trying to get in compliance with that is a laundry facility for my short-term rental management business.
All right.
The laundry facility was permitted inside and built properly.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to get a conditional use to use it.
It's not really home occupation, is it?
So it's,
because you don't live there. Is it? Do the people that live there do the laundry?
Sometimes they do. Yes,
okay.
But not all the time. There are other people.
Looks like there's adequate parking.
Yeah, there's a little bit of parking there.
There's a lot of parking.
I drove by there. You need to fix that door.
I don't want to talk about that door.
It's a personal issue.
I do need to fix that door. So I still own the home. It is my home. And it is my occupation.
I'd say it's incidental to a home occupation. That says, under permitted use, accessory building and uses customarily incidental to permitted and conditional uses. And as a conditional use, it's home occupation.
Yeah.
So when he was living there, he was using it as a home.
Right. I don't think that there's anything particularly objectionable about it at all.
We approved Rome's Quonset mechanic shop.
Yeah.
Rome doesn't live in that house either.
Right.
It's the same situation.
Right. The question is, are there employees? Are we getting into a situation because home occupation doesn't allow employees? Does Rome's have employees there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Where does it define home occupation?
In the definitions. In right toward the front. Let's read through that. In the zoning ordinance section, home occupation, page 6. Any use conducted entirely within a dwelling and carried on by persons residing in the dwelling unit. Oh, okay. Which use is clearly incidental and secondary to the use of the dwelling for dwelling purposes and does not change the character thereof and in connection with which there is no display nor any employees. Home occupation shall include the use of the home by a lawyer, clergyman, engineer, barber, beautician, tradesman, or other professional person in all cases where a home occupation is engaged in, adequate parking is required. There shall be no window displays nor signs except as herein permitted and no employees employed. So,
Alex, who's living in that building?
Tiana Cross.
Are they doing laundry for us?
They do. She does do laundry for us.
Yeah.
But she's not the only person, to be totally honest.
Yeah,
I can't see anything inherently a problem here other than just the ordinance itself. And it could be that you just need to get a variance.
Well,
is there not a precedent set by the Rome issuance of a conditional use permit that puts us in a tricky position?
When the Rome one came in, there was no discussion about employees that I recall. I think that that didn't get discussed. So what we need to do is set a precedence now. And that is part of the problem is that we're obligated by law to follow the ordinance. We can't dismiss any part of it, neither us nor town council. The only organization that is capable of making variances is the Board of Adjustment. So I think I would recommend that we recommend denial based on employee and have them appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Any more discussion? That's just me. Anybody else have a better idea? And it could be when the other business licenses come up that are doing this with employees that they need to come back and go through the correct process just to protect the town.
So it's because he has an employee there, why? So I don't think Wally's an employee of Rome.
Wally doesn't own that property, it drops.
Rob owns it.
Yeah.
But there's other people there.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get Rome's permit pulled.
Right, we're not. No, we're not.
Like, yeah. Isn't it Wally is the reason, like it's the tenant that is the problem?
Yeah. The problem is the ordinance required this home occupation, which is what we do this with. That's the thing that we have to use, and you have to live there. You can't have employees come in. And the problem is it's in a residential area, and the ordinance is written there to protect surrounding residents from commercial encroachment, from unrealistic commercial encroachment. Anybody have a fix for it other than the variance?
Then let's get on with it.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion on item number 7 for the laundry facility.
I'll recommend we deny.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to deny based on there are employees there. All in favor of denial?
Aye.
Okay, anybody in favor of approving? I think we all voted against it. And recommend that you appeal to the Board of Adjustment.
I will do that. When is our next meeting?
What you schedule it. It's scheduled on demand. Is that correct?
Tomorrow noon.
You got two of the board members here.
Oh, let's do it right now.
Well, you have to pump. Do you have to? Don't you have to?
We have to notice it.
Notice the meeting, just like everything else.
So I will get.
They could meet. They could meet before. Yeah. Just.
I was gonna say if you could.
If that's taken care of before town council meets on their regular meeting, they can take that, you know. If you read the duties, which we will, of the Board of Adjustment, it allows for this very thing, very clearly, okay? Okay, number eight, consider recommending for approval slash denial a conditional use permit for Wes and Kimberly Lamb at 150 West 2500 South Porterville for a mechanic shop and mobile mechanic repair. Everett, plead your case.
She's basically a self-employed little business. I'll be the only employee. Wes has just offered to let me use his building, and to do that, to get a business license and to be able to carry insurance that he, that I need a conditional use permit to do that. Anyways, I don't know much about the process, so if you could remind me or help me out that way, any questions for me?
Does anybody have any questions for Everett?
Looks like there's plenty of parking.
Yeah. Yes, there is.
Yeah, it's that lot next to the cemetery.
Yeah, he's already there. I don't have any questions.
Are you ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the conditional use permit for Wes and Kim Lamb.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve number eight. All in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion carries. I would recommend that town council impose the following conditions on you. One, that there will be no parking in the street as a result of your doing business there, and also that you observe the quiet time from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Okay? I've written that down here. Okay.
So that was approved now?
Yes.
So how is that different if he doesn't live there?
He's alone and he's not bringing employees in.
It's not his property, though.
So yes,
he's somewhat similar. Oh, there, yes.
Well, he is. You're not an employee there. They're allowing him to use his place. Wes and Kim took it out. He is not their employee. He is allowing them to use that. The only issue with you is there is an employee coming. That's it. If it weren't for that, it should be fine.
Is that a 1099 employee? Because that could be an independent contractor.
No. They're W-2.
Okay. That's
good
the only
job.
Issue.
Good job.
The ordinance says no employees. That's it. Okay. Are there any other items that we need to discuss?
My suggestion on that?
Yeah.
Would to bring a change to the ordinance and not seek variance. That would be my suggestion.
I
don't see a purpose for that. But anyhow, that's...
No, you're right. But my thought is here, we can't...
No, I understand. I agree with you.
We have to follow the ordinance. Yes.
But instead of Alex going and seeking a variance, bring a change to the ordinance.
Well, he can get a variance.
So we don't have to go
faster.
Changing some of these others.
He can get a variance in a fraction of the time that we can change the ordinance. But you're correct, Mayor. We were instructed in meeting. Alex and I went to a meeting last spring.
Yeah, I agree with what you did tonight.
And we were instructed that if we're constantly giving variance for something, change your ordinance.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not agreeing. So we can.
That's my suggestion.
Right.
We can.
And I think that if town council would suggest that we do that, then we will get in the process first of the year to change that part of the ordinance. And I think that with that, there ought to be a limit of the number of employees because it's in a residential area. We don't want a business so large that it.
Sure.
Anyway, we get into a big can of worms, really, around here, because there's so many people that are doing it anyway.
That's a solicited comment.
I appreciate your comment, and it's well taken, and its intentions are clear.
All right.
I'll I'll entertain a motion to adjourn if nobody has anything else.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
It's been moved and seconded that we adjourn this meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Okay, now I've got to keep track of all these assignments.